So I'm going to record on my phone. One of the reasons I haven't been here is because I'm having trouble recording on my computer and I didn't know how else to do this. And someone told me, hey, you can do Podbean on your phone. So here I am. So I'm trying to do a thing. So I have been away from recording about witchy stuff for quite a long time because I've been engaged in going to acupuncture school. Very interestingly, I just came from a full day Reiki 3 master Reiki session with people who are also Reiki masters through my teacher and my lineage of Reiki. And everything I do, it seems to be two things happen. One, it's all witchcraft in the end. And two, people are afraid of it. So I did a little interview on YouTube. You can look for me on YouTube and find that about why people are so afraid of witches. And it's really a thing that has to do with Hollywood and old movies and dark things and people who do bad things and then call themselves witches. So anyway, on Saturday I was there with this very somewhat enlightened Reiki master teacher, and she just was put off by me because she knows that I'm witchy. Interestingly, though, also to add into this, I have been deeply engaged in Isis work, and I have now the ability to form an Isium. Although I don't know if I have the time to train, I do have the time to talk about it, so I'm going to. So where else I've been is been dedicating myself to Isis and to Sekhmet. So I have been on this long path for about 3 years of serious study, because when I was first starting my witch journeys back in the 90s, Isis kept coming up anyway. Isis and healing and Sekhmet and herbs and other Egyptian gods and goddesses. The Eye of Horus was everywhere. I kept seeing eyes. I kept thinking this way. And so I decided to engage in finding an Isium, which I did. Not an Isium. I found a grove in New York City, which was poorly run. But I stuck it out and I got initiated that way and hoped also to be initiated into Gardnerian Wicca, which I was. In the same year. So the Gardnerian Wicca thing sort of in New York City, it's hard to find anybody that does that work. Most likely it's online, and it seems like I've come away from that idea of traditional British witchcraft. It was the foundation of what I did and what I've done. Oh, here comes my 4 p.m. Here it is, 4 p.m. in New York City. Anyway, so I've come away from that. And now I'm much more engaged in Isian work. So that's where I am. I have found that working with Isis is the most dramatic thing I've ever done in my life, specifically as a magician, a witch. I don't have to, with Isis, do as much spell work as I would have done before. She doesn't need specific ritual from me. She seems to just need dedication, which I am uber dedicated to her. And also to Sekhmet, who is a form of Isis. And I want to talk about Isis just for a second. Two things: to talk about the fact that some men have, you know, taken her name and used it in vain to harm people in the Middle East. Isis is a goddess, an ancient goddess. And in general, she has become the goddess. She has become the goddess, as we all talk about. And under her umbrella are every goddess. Every goddess is Isis. Isis is the ultimate uber goddess. So being a goddess worshiper myself, it wasn't a long, hard jump to get into Isis. So that was pretty simple for me, but not an easy path. Certainly, I studied with an Isium out of the Midwest online, and we had, you know, weekly meetings and lots of assignments, and I had to go through 4, 5, 6 books, do ritual every day, and it was quite a thing. So I can now form my own Isium out of New York City, and I think I will. It will be dedicated and working through the voice of Isis, through the voice of the goddess. We'll be using music as a form, or the format, to dedicate to her, and working with musicians and poets and lyricists and other types of artists who express through color and movement and music. So, because since New York City seems to be somewhat still a capital of some art. So Urban Medicine Woman is the name of this. And so I wanted to get a little bit into something that's interestingly medicine. So we're going to talk about a spell because people like to know about spells. I do spells, but I do simple spells. I find myself very attracted to fire spells because I am a Leo with Sag rising. So fire spells make me happy. But also, I wanted to talk about a simple spell, a jar spell, and how to use it and how to put it in front of the gods so that they can watch over it for you and not mind it too much. So a jar spell is a simple thing that you need to just sort of figure out what it is you want, what you want to contain. What is it that you, do you want money? Do you want a better job? Do you want a lover? Do you want freedom? Do you want to move house? Do you want a better movement upward in your career? Do you want to change careers? Whatever it happens to be for you. So it's just like any spell I've ever talked about on here. First thing you have to do is write it out. What is it you want? And some of the times when you're working magic, the best thing to say is, what don't I want to happen in this spell? Make sure you're safe. In other words, if I want to move house, for example, and I want to do a jar spell for that, and I just want to add things into that as this thing starts to come to fruition, and that's why I like jar spells, because I don't seal them. I will seal them with a crystal on top, but I will not seal them. So I can continue to put things into it and put things into it until I have a manifestation. And when I have the manifestation, I either disperse the spell by removing everything, burning what I need to, and burying the other things, or I hold it and I keep it in the space. Say I did move and I found my space, I might want to wrap that spell in something dark and keep it in a closet until I was ready to move again, so it would protect me in my new space, and I can add things into that jar for protection, as can you. So back to what you don't want. Most important, what don't I want? What do I not want in this spell? So if I was moving house, I would be sure to say something like, I don't want a nasty landlord. I don't want to spend more than this amount of money. I want, you know, and then I would be to the wants. I want this rent. I want this kind of landlord. I want a dishwasher. Whatever it is. That's an example. The same thing would happen with if you were doing a love spell for yourself. Remember, again and again, I will say, do not pick a specific person. Why do you say that? I've done it, and it's awful. You have a karmic backlash that you're not going to want. You're going to fall deeper in love with this person than they'll ever be in love with you. You will become obsessed with them because of your spells and your workings. Let yourself be more open to the gods and goddesses, and let them bring the right person for you. That's all I can say about that. I have done the wrong thing. I know how it feels. It's taken me a long time to get rid of the effects of spells that I've done like that. So don't. That's my strong advice. Okay, so that's it. That's to me, it's interesting to say, is it medicine? Is this jar spell medicine? Well, like a lot of the medicine we buy comes in little jars, right? We're used to getting a jar of some kind of ointment or a little jar of medication from the pharmacist or a little jar of, you know, homeopathic pellets from someplace, right? So that's, or a jar of spices in our kitchen. So this is what we're talking about, a container. And what does the container have to be? Anything. It's better if it's not plastic, in my opinion. It's better if it's glass or some natural substance. Don't use metal. It'll bounce back. It'll just reflect back, or it would trap your spell. So metal is not good for that. It's good for preserving things, but it's not good for magic. So glass or even porcelain, something like that, a porcelain jar. I've used butter jars for this, make it pretty. You can make your jar as beautiful as you want. I usually just wash a jar and use it, and I need one that's the right size, and I'll use it. So you can do anything you want, though. People love to decorate the outside of these jars, and the stuff that you put inside of it can be beautiful. What do I mean by stuff? Well, I mean the stuff that draws in the magic you want. Say, for example, you want money or a better job or something like that. Well, then you're going to put in herbs that draw money. And traditionally, those things have been things like cinnamon and cloves and basil and bay leaves for protection and for drawing. You can put in other things like, I don't know, salt to solidify, because people have used salt as a money thing for many, many years. I sometimes take a dollar bill and roll it up and put it in the jar spell, or some coins to represent, you know, currency. You can use any currency you want. It can be currency you create. It can be runes that you create or that you use that draw money. You can actually put pictures of tarot cards in. You can actually print one out really, really tiny and cut it out, and, or put it, just roll it up and put it in there if you like that. Or you can use crystals, little bits of crystal dust, anything that represents what you want And if you want to, you can easily look these things up online, although I've given you plenty of examples for money. If it was love, I would say, okay, then sweet things. We want to maybe want to put sugar, and we want to put roses, and we want to put cinnamon for heat and for passion, things like that. You know, it should be maybe pink, and hearts will be inside of the jar, or like just the how you want to feel. And how you can do that is making little tiny scrolls. Is what you do is I use post-its, and I use colored post-its. So if it's love, I can write out, I want to feel blank, blank, blank when I'm around this person. Roll that up, put that inside your jar spell. There's no fire involved in these kinds of spells at all. And if it was, I'd say too, yeah, you could use elements. If I was using, again, back to the job jar spell, I would use the elements of earth, like I said, crystals and those types of things. And if I was doing a love spell, I might do it in water. I might actually put the whole thing in water, because water is the West and it represents love, right? And romantic love. So that would be a way to go. So, you know, if you wanted to go around the whole five elements, you could say, okay, what other spells could there be that I do? Well, there could be health spells, and those are earth-based. Or you could do more grief release spells if you wanted to do something in the waning moon time of the year, or any time of the year that you want to remove something. You know, the waning year starts at midsummer, and it goes until Yule, and then it comes back to waxing year, and everything starts to grow again. So if you are interested in doing things in the seasonal way, you can start things at midsummer or thereafter to remove, and then at Yule to bring back in. It doesn't really matter. You can do it at any time. It's all about your intention. But if you want solar or lunar influences, you can use those times and types of things, including moon waning and waxing. Waning to remove, waxing to draw in. Anyway, back to the elements. Earth, air is something that would have to do with maybe knowledge or learning things. If you're a student like I am, I'm still in acupuncture school. God knows when I'll leave. It's a very difficult major. But if you are somebody who is an intellectual or a writer or somebody who communicates, air is your element. And if you want those things to get better or stronger or change or use something that's changing direction, air is for you. So earth, air, water, fire, of course, is about passion and about, you know, could be removing pain, burning away fear, destroying darkness, you know, putting light into your life, or it could be just bringing in hot sex with your partner. That's what it could mean. It could mean many things. So if you start to investigate, what is my spell that I want in this jar? What should the jar look like? What should it contain? Which element is involved? What parts of that element am I going to use in my herbal mixtures for air? You know, what could we use? Well, we could use things like rosemary, which actually feed the brain, or so they think. Things like this. Air types of herbs. For water, like I say, you know, you can use, if you wanted to do, you can do a real big Venus spell or a spell with shells and all kinds of beachy things in it. You could even release that spell into the ocean as long as it's biodegradable. That would be great. So that's how I do jar spells. So that's part one. You fill up your jar. You do whatever incantation over that jar you want to do. Speak to the gods about it. Ask them for what you want. Ask the goddess to be with you. Put that on your altar, which we've discussed earlier about what does an altar have on it? What does it look like? All those kinds of things are in earlier podcasts. If you want to find them, you can look those up. And you can use a regular simple table that you just find is beautiful and you want to use for that. You can cover the thing with crystals. You can, I mean, it's really up to you. And this is why witchcraft works, because it is an artistic, it's a craft. It's a craft. You're creating something with your intention and you're making it beautiful or ugly based on what you actually want. So once your jar spell is manifested, like I started to intimate about before, you can either leave it with you if you have one. That I have one that I did for my husband and I still have the spell and still in my altar hidden, and it will always be there until he and I part, which may never happen. So I will always have that spell there. I also have other spells, say for other things I'm engaged in at the moment, that will sit there on my altar until it happens and until it manifests. Yes, I can keep it with me, or I can release it. I can bury it. I can burn it if I can or want to. I can burn the inner parts of it outside where it's safe to do so. Or I can release into a body of water. Any spell can be released that way. Or you can leave it at a crossroads, which is one of the things I love to do. Because in New York City, there's plenty of crossroads. There's actually one very close to where I live. And there's, I just leave things at the crossroads. It's a block away. I go to the crossroad. I leave my spells and they get taken away either by whoever or whatever. So that's what I usually do. I leave it as an offering and a thank you from whom, whatever I was working with, to take it if I can. Sometimes I find just destroying a spell and throwing it all away is perfect too. Especially if you're redoing something. If it didn't work, or if it's for something that's got to get out of your life, sometimes just trashing the thing and just, you know, breaking it apart and throwing it away is one of the best and most efficient ways to do that. So anyway, I hope that helped. So that's all about jar spells. I like to keep things short and sweet, but I just wanted to go into a second part of this, and that's just about essential oils in this work. So essential oils can be very safe and very easy to use, and it can be toxic. So I want to put that warning out there that if you are allergic to certain things and you know it, don't touch them in essential oil form, because they really will upset your body and your energy. But if you're not and you want to use certain things, sometimes doing essential oil work is one of the best ways to further your jar spell and also to take a part of it with you. What do I mean by this? Well, you can create an essential oil blend that speaks to exactly what you're working on. So if you've researched, say, for example, a money or a love spell, some of the more common spells, actually, you say, okay, what kind of herbs suit a money spell? And I've just listed them out. So you can find the essential oils for those. And then you can put a few drops of each of those into a vial and into some carrier oil. And then you can take either a crystal or a piece of paper rolled up real tight or something and keep that in a jar, tiny jar that you take with you. You can buy online lots of little necklace pieces that you can hang over yourself, or you can even make a solid perfume, which I've talked about before in other things. But very simply, all that means is you take your essential oil blend and you microwave, if you can, a little bit of beeswax and it becomes solid. And you can just carry that with you, you know, in a little container. Very easy. So maybe I'll go into more of that another time, talking about making solids and how you carry solids. But any way you want to do that, that might also help you to remember that you're working on this spell when you're at your office and you want the more money or your job. Or if you are around in public and you are looking to attract a lover, to wear or to carry an essential oil blend that you can rub on your hands, maybe wear in your hair, again, if it's not toxic. There are many, many essential oils, for example, like cinnamon oil or mints, that can really burn any kind of mucous membranes, and that includes your eyes. And you are to never ingest, ever, I don't care what anybody says, ever ingest an essential oil. Don't do that. Do not drink it. Do not do that. I mean, wear it on your, you know, very, very, very diluted essential oil blend without anything that irritates you. And I would test it before I went out and used it. A little bit on the inner arm by the inner elbow and see if you have a reaction. If you have no reaction, you're good to go. And if you want to take that further, you can go into the stuff that I branched into. You can learn to make soaps with that blend. You can learn to make perfumes with that blend. You can learn to make lotions with that blend. And you can start to really expand that and use it on a regular basis. So here I am trying to catch up and trying to really pull people in and say, look, we're back. The pandemic is still here in a way. There's still people kind of sick here and there, but it's not like it was. And we're entering back into life. And there's so many people that are hungry to get the things that they waited to have during this pandemic. So many, many bright blessings. May the gods and the goddesses always be with you. May you have and achieve all of your desires in life for the good of all. Many blessings, and thanks for listening. Bye.